I'm expecting
you. Welcome back to the Reinvent Health Podcast on this, the last day of 2025. And today's guest is a man who has carved his name into the South African entertainment industry with sheer grit and relentless evolution. Teboho Tekisho, otherwise known as Proverb, is a multi-award-winning rapper, a radio and television host, a producer, a businessman, and one of the most recognized voices in the country. From Jam Alley to Idol South Africa, he has shaped culture, mentored talent, and built a career that has stood the test of time. Today we discuss Proverb's latest title, To Health With It, Reset, Realign, and Redefine Your Health, Wealth, and Happiness. It's a reflective yet practical guide to holistic well-being that springs straight from his own personal transformation journey. In today's conversation, we're unpacking the man behind the milestones, the health journey behind the public success, and the wisdom carved from decades of staying in the arena. I hope you enjoy. But before we go any further, please remember to hit subscribe if you're listening via YouTube, Apple Podcast, or Spotify. And don't forget to share this episode with your friends and loved ones. Now on with the show. So what I wanted to do is start with a question I ask so many guests, and that is, how far down do we have to fall before we find it within ourselves to get going again?
You know what? Rock bottom is always the best place to start when the canvas is absolutely clean. So for me, I'm usually inspired by the highest heights of a crisis and disaster in my personal life. That's usually when my best ideas come about. I don't know if that's the same for everybody, but I know for me, a lot of my ideas, certainly with my book, which I know we'll get to, a lot of it was inspired by a lot of personal difficulty. I was at my absolute worst physically, you know, mentally, emotionally. Yeah. I had been through numerous traumas, all my sort of pursuits. I was making poor financial decisions, and all of these things kind of set me on a path to start, you know, mapping the way towards financial health, physical health, occupational health, all the health that we will touch on. So for me, I find rock bottom is always the best place to start.
So I came across your book, In Exclusive Books, a couple of weeks ago, and I thought, well, what is this rapper presenter doing talking about health? And I obviously picked up the book and began reading, and I was absolutely taken by your story. And you're very open about your health challenges in your life. What was the moment when you realized that your body was sending you messages that you couldn't ignore anymore?
Look, I think the flags and the alarm bells were going off from the very beginning. I think what kind of dawned on me and where the light came on was when I realized that I was kind of counterproductive every time I would focus on one aspect of my health journey. So whenever I would say, you know, for my New Year's resolution, I am now getting in the gym 3 times a week, like we do every single year. But I realized when I was in a poor mental state, I was therefore uninspired to go to the gym. And subsequently, I would be demotivated to make appointments or to return my family's phone calls. And, you know, my books, I'm currently studying, pursuing my MBA. In fact, I write my last exam now tomorrow. But academically, I was uninspired to then, you know, open a book and to write. And when I was trying to complete my book as well, uninspired. And I suddenly realized that everything has a knock-on effect and everything is kind of a chink in the chain. And so when I started pursuing a more holistic life, I also found the inverse to be true, where one aspect of my life would support the other. So when I was feeling inspired intellectually, emotionally, my mental state was therefore improved. And I therefore had the juice to get into the gym or to watch what I eat. And I related better with my friends socially, with my family and the like. And so I realized that there's a thread between them all and everything that I have heard up until this point, whether it be, you know, from my, say, coach in the gym or my lecturers and all that, always individualized all the aspects. And it's only when they all came together for me that I began to find I was making progress.
I think that's such an important point because I mean, I see people on a daily basis for nutrition, and that's all they're focusing on is I just want to lose weight. But what about all these other aspects of your life? Because you're this multi-dimensional person. And when a person really understands that they see success everywhere and that success drives more success, but to isolate one pillar of wellness away from another is a fundamental mistake.
That's so profound of you to say, because whenever I have spoken about this, which I have of late, I kind of realize how this isn't widely, spoken about information. So everyone seems to understand that for your physical health, these are the necessary steps. Obviously, we customize and tailor it to your particular needs. For your mental health, your psychologist will give you these kind of exercises that you need to do, and all these various aspects. Your financial advisor will tell you this, but it's rare that they overlap. You won't have a conversation with your financial advisor about your mental well-being, because I can understand that's his area of expertise. He does not necessarily appreciate that everything kind of overlaps, and that's a journey I had to embark on my own. And once, as I say, my sort of lights and eyes opened up, I realized so many of us actually share this common life experiences. We all have similar aspirations, similar goals. When we've fallen and we have challenges, a lot of people can actually relate as well. So why not share my story as I learn from others in the process as well?
The importance of sharing a story is it's not understood how critically important it is for us to learn from each other and to support each other. It's so much part of the journey.
Yeah, look, I'm an advocate. I always believe everyone needs to tell their story. Since publishing my second book, I keep telling everyone after hearing a little bit of their story that they all need to write. I think we all need to write. Let's exchange information and chat.
We do. Yeah, that's what it's about. So there's a large part of my audience who know exactly who you are, but for those in the audience who haven't an idea, let's just go back a little bit and draw a picture for them about, I mean, I love that intro in your book where you're an idols judge and people weren't saying what needed to be said. So let's go all the way back and really give people an idea of who you really are.
Sure. So my name is Tebogo Tekisho. Proverb was a nickname I picked up in high school. I'm from a small town, Kimberley, came to the big city, Johannesburg, in 99 to pursue at the time what was academics. And I put it in inverted commas because I also had
Sure.
this dream of pursuing a career in entertainment. I always wanted to be an entertainer. And that began in 2003, after completing sound engineering. I was a technical producer on a radio station, YFM. Concurrently, in the same year, 2003, I also started my television journey. I was a continuity presenter on Channel O. I know the concept of continuity presenter doesn't exist anymore, but my job, really, the long and short of it, was to tell you what the video has just played and what video is going to play next. So that's where the television journey began. And then I also pursued a music career. I was a rapper for a very long time, released my first album in 2005, have subsequently released five, but I no longer release music actively, but still a big part of the music industry. I served on the board of the South African Music Rights Organization. I was also on Flight Center. I've also embarked on a little bit of an academic career right now, my first qualification being that of a sound engineer. But since then, I've done multiple short courses, everything from tax law to investment management. I've got my BBA with ReGenesis Business School, currently completing my MBA. I hope to pursue a DBA. Because my parents are both doctors, my dad a medical doctor, my mom was a professor at the University of the Northwest. She's sadly late now, and part of what inspires me to try and study and further my education is also just an homage and to kind of honor my late mom. That's kind of the long and short of it. The biggest gig of my career that everyone would pro well, a lot of people would probably know about, is as host and co-executive producer of South African Idols. That's something I did for a good 14 years. I started in
Wow.
2010 up until the end of it. And of course, I spoke about the music, the radio career I still am on now, but this time on air, started off behind the scenes as technical producer, went on to a lot of the major radio stations from YFM, Metro FM as a technical producer. Then I went to 947, which was Highveld at the time, did a stint at the Kaya, and I'm currently on the midday show on Metro FM, which is 12 to 3
Good
weekdays.
heavens.
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell, and published author. Don't forget the published author.
And two-time published
Wow.
author, which is something I'm very proud
Good,
of.
good. So what did a normal day really look like for you back in the day before the wake up call came? What did your day look like?
Sure. So in my earlier days, I was chasing the dream of being a rapper so blindly. So that's all I focused on. First chance I would get, I would enter all the competitions, which I did. Everything from your Rapactivity jams and your Rap-A-Lot Wednesdays. I even did Jam Alley back in the day. So, I always had this dream of being an entertainer. And it's interesting because that has shifted tremendously. I still love entertainment, but I have now been sensitized to how brutal it is, how short-lived it
It
is,
really
how
is.
unforgiving it is, how dependent on factors you can't control, like popularity, like your age, like your looks, things you really can't control. So that's also part of why I then embarked on an academic career. But sort of as far as my days go, because I recognized, how unpredictable entertainment is, and there was always this looming threat of failing and having to end up back in Kimberley, I always took on more than I could. Always had multiple gigs at any one time. While I was on radio, I was also recording. I was also on television. I was also this, and I think that has kind of followed me throughout my career. That has not changed. I still take on too much, but I think I thrive in the chaos.
I can completely relate to that. Unless you've got 6 gigs going at once, it's not even a normal day.
100%. Plus, this economy that we live in, one cannot really afford to rest on their laurels.
So, which part of this journey did you? Because you mentioned so many facets. That's the word I'm looking for. You mentioned so many facets in your book that needed to change, things that were falling apart, the health, the weight, the finances. What was the thing that was the easiest, not easiest, none of them are easy, but what was the logical first step for you? Was it getting control of your finances? Was it getting control of your relationships? Was it getting control of your mental health or physical health? What was the first door opener to get this ball rolling for you?
For me, it definitely has to be my physical health, I think, was the catalyst to exploring the other elements. Because I was unhappy physically, a lot of it was because I was unhappy emotionally, mentally. I had some traumas. I had a lot of things that happened in the public because I'm an entertainer. So all of which forced me to reflect. I also find what's interesting about physical health is it's probably the one of the many healths where you almost have to stop doing anything else to focus on that. And when you do, that's when you get to check in with yourself and see where you are mentally, emotionally. You're thinking a lot about, your finances and, who has reached out, who have you not reached out to. And you kind of do an introspection and an examination of all these things. So for me, the physical health was probably the first. And then it was the first domino to fall. And thereafter, I started not necessarily sequentially, because there were also overlapping elements as well. So while working on one, I will start working on the other and so on, which is why it's almost all over the show until it all comes together.
Exactly. I completely agree, and I can relate as well personally that when you just start getting that discipline of eating right and exercising, not magically, but somehow you sort of mirror that in the other aspects of your life. And it really, it's phenomenal how well that works for so many people.
I also find that when you physically feel good, you kind of
Yeah.
energized to tackle the other aspects as well.
Yeah. Yeah, you've literally got the resources
Yes.
to tackle everything else. But also when you're feeling good and you're confident, you project that to people who mirror it right back at you. So it's almost like a compounding effect.
Absolutely. And you know what? This is also one of the things I've loved about this journey is how, as you embark on your sort of your own path, so your third eye is open to recognize it in someone else, and you
Oh,
find
yeah.
yourself seeking that information, being drawn to people who have found light in that direction, and you just want to constantly exchange with people who are also on their path.
Absolutely. I completely relate to that. So, when we feel at our lowest point, we feel lonely. We feel like we can't turn to anybody. We feel like we failed. And you mentioned earlier that fear of going back to where you started. And I think a lot of us and a lot of high performance people are terrified of losing what they've achieved and they don't want to be seen to be sliding backward. It's a big fear-driven motivation. What for you, or who for you, were your greatest supports, and how did you reach out and ask for help?
So my folks, bless their hearts, have been my biggest support. As you can tell from the first half of my life and career, I was given the liberty to explore and to try any and everything, which I did. But at
Yeah.
some point, the realities also, dawned and were apparent, which is I cannot coast through life for as long as I am. And
Yeah.
so when I was about 21, my mom said to me, "Look, man, you've had the free rein to sort of try any and everything. Now we need to focus the resources on your sister." And I think that looming threat is also where I began to wake up and take life a little bit more seriously. So they were ever present as my support system, but I also think I had to grow up quite a lot. And when I
Yeah.
did, I realized the safety net, or at least the net my parents had me believe was there, didn't actually exist. And so
Yes.
now, especially since my mom and my grandmom's passing, my dad is still very much around. We have a fantastic relationship, but I realize that there isn't so much a whole line behind me. I am kind of where it is at the moment. And having children, I also realize I cannot afford to squander life and their opportunities, because it isn't just about me anymore. Now all the decisions I make impact my dependents as well.
Men are also taught to tough it out. Did you ever downplay what you were going through to keep everyone happy, to keep people, to create this buffer between you and what was going on inside of you and the people you loved?
I had to. I'm an entertainer. I'm in front of camera. I'm behind the mic. I'm on the print media. So you always have to create the illusion and impression that all is well when you know it isn't. But that was a coping mechanism for a while. It allowed me to deny the realities for a long time and almost live in this false alternate world. But I feel like it needed to happen a little bit, while I grow into the
Mm.
person who can face these challenges. So for a period, I had to kind of put them at bay, keep things moving.
Good
And
Lord.
then once I developed the skills, the know-how, gather the knowledge, the resources, then I could face all of these things, which I have progressively.
I don't think people appreciate the strength it takes to do that, especially in the entertainment industry. I mean, to be on camera, to be even be on radio, the amount of energy you have to find and send out into the world every single day is enormous. It's not like sitting behind a desk and typing away at a computer. When your energy was at its lowest, how did it affect your output, your creativity, your actual physical work, or didn't it?
No, I love the fact that we're putting it in the basket of creativity, because it means one is able to compartmentalize and count on your creative elements to sort of live in this alternate world. So for me, it kind of served me in that it allowed me to just escape for a period. You know, to because when I was on stage, the only thing I was thinking about was getting my lines right, making sure the audience is entertained and the viewers are watching. When I'm on radio, it's just about getting my links right, my timings right, my time checks right, making sure that I've got interaction and all that. And I didn't afford myself the time to think about all these difficulties that I was dealing with. But by doing that, you know, it's almost like when you're wounded and you need to have bed rest. You know, I almost feel like I allowed my wounds to sort of progressively heal on their own while I figured out how to address them and attend to them and, you know, further help the healing along. You know, so for me, it didn't necessarily affect my creative output. If anything, my creative output was an aid to me, you know.
I see that. And it, like you said, gave you that space to just f figure out how to fix without having the pressure. Incredible. But when you stopped rapping, didn't that affect you horrendously? Because that's such a creative, I mean, it's who you are. And if music is who you are, when you stop doing that, it can't be good for your mental health.
Nikki, you know something I haven't been able to explain and articulate to anybody else, and I think you asked the right sequence of questions, and even the way you posed the question makes it so much easier to explain, and I sincerely hope it lands. And that is, you know, a lot of my healing journey also entailed a lot of self-preservation and keeping some of me for myself, because I had lived very much, you know, for the world and out there, and there was very little of me left. So my creative expression in music was very much about putting my own life out there, my own stories, my own experiences. I mean, I spoke about, you know, my children and the birth thereof. I spoke about what I sort of hope for in my dreams and my aspirations and all that. And part of the reason that motivated me stopping the music was not because, you know, I didn't like it anymore or I wasn't inspired anymore, but was part of just preserving and keeping some of me to myself, you know. And it took many shapes, including, you know, my friendship circle also reduced tremendously. I find that I'm a more of a listener than a talker and a speaker. And, you know, of course, writing a book, you know, may challenge that theory, but even still, like, I kind of curate how much of me is out in the world, you know, how I interact with the world, how I
Nice.
behave on social media platforms. You know, just the other day, 2 days ago, somebody asked to do an interview, but they wanted to do it at my house. And I said, no, that's for me. That's my space. It's my children. It's their space that I'm invading as well. And that's only testament to the fact that, you know, you're now just aware of how much of you are preserving and keeping for yourself, how much is sacred to you versus how much you share with the world. And, you know, giving up the music was all as a part of that, among other reasons as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very important take-home message for a lot of people, even if you aren't in the public eye, is you've got to decide what goes out and what you keep. Your private life should be a private life. And there's a lot of issues, I mean, with people on social media, they don't realize how much of themselves and their soul they're giving away by putting everything out there. And it's simply not healthy.
Yeah, look, I honestly try not to be too prescriptive or too preachy. You know, we all at liberty to live how we wish, right? But often I would see a piece of content and think, if that were me, that's not what I would do, you know. But I'm not sort of here to dictate how anyone should engage with the world. But 100%. So for me, and it sounds like for you as well, this is what works, just to kind of keep a little bit of yourself, you know. But for others, you know, they thrive on having as much of their personal life out there as possible. And I think that's okay too.
Yeah, it takes all personalities to make the world.
100%. And you know, another thing about my studies, it's kind of taught me that your perspective isn't necessarily always the right one. So you must always
Yeah.
consider multiple perspectives. So this may be my view, but it's not to
Yeah.
say that I think it's above anyone else's.
Exactly. And not no need to be right about anything or everything all the time.
No, and you know, same with the book as well. It's not kind of written as these 10 commandments.
Yeah.
It's written in a way that says, these are my perspective. I'm keen to hear yours. Let's exchange notes.
And on that note, I'm really curious about how your relationship with food changed as you were going through your health journey.
Yeah.
What did you eat? How did you think about food? What transformed for you?
Look, food for a long time was, you know, the unit or the end goal for achievement, for celebration. It was something that I would incentivize myself with. If I do this, then I can have a scoop of ice cream, or I've had a tough day, let me get a chocolate, or you know, overindulge
Yeah.
here and there. And I find that, you know, as soon as I separated and removed food as any kind of incentive or something to work towards,
Yes.
immediately my relationship changed, you know. So it's how I think about food, it's how I think about, you know, myself. I now think, you know, if I do a 1 hour walk on the treadmill, that is the reward. That's how I reward myself for having a fantastic weekend, for eating well and all that. And so it's just kind of those understandings. Not to mention, I also removed the goals and the targets and the scale and all that. I rather chose to make lifestyle changes that has served me well, things that I can maintain and do forever. I always hear people say, you know, I'm doing a fast where I'm not eating at all for the month,
Oi.
or I'm just drinking water. And I think to myself, yeah, that's fine, but can you maintain that though?
No.
After you reach your goal, are you then reverting back to your old habits? So I would rather implement lifestyle changes, things I can maintain, and I feel like that's served me well.
Yeah, this is the mantra we all say when we've made permanent lifestyle change, and anyone comes to you and they say, "What did you do? Did you fast? Are you on keto? Are you
Yeah.
injecting?" And you go, "Well, no. You know, you can't start something and unless you can live with it, and that's the secret." And I think for everybody, you've got to find what you can live with.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that is it right there,
yeah.
indeed.
So what does your day of eating look like on an average day?
So I'll have oats and berries, which I generally prepare the night before, because I do a radio show in the day. This is probably a bad habit. I don't eat much in the day, but I do carry fruit, and I've got my where's my jug of water? It's here somewhere. I have my jug of water and fruit that I eat in the day, and then in the evening again, I watch what I eat as well. I try not to be a little bit of a stickler on weekends, especially because I've got teenage children. So you know, I'm not far into having a pizza and a takeaway as well. But
Exactly.
you know, for me, it's just lifestyle changes. You know, supplement the sugar with either sweetener or honey, depending. I avoid all the a lot of the starches if I can, except when I need energy to like study or something. That's when I would most definitely indulge. But you know, avoid the breads. If I am going to have bread, I would have the healthy alternative like some rye or something. Yeah, that kind of a thing.
And from an exercise point of view, how important is that in your life on a daily basis?
So again, you know, gym was not something I was necessarily crazy about. I used to have a trainer. You know, I couldn't maintain it because my schedule is a little bit all over the place. You know, you and I can agree to meet tomorrow morning at 7. And then, of course, Nikki decides that 7 o'clock is the best time to have the interview. So that's now not working anymore. Let's do this time or that time or this and that. So that unpredictable, you know, kind of chaotic life wasn't working to maintain a nice schedule. So what I did instead was, I've got a little setup at home, and I work on a regimen that works for me. I like to walk. I also find that I study better when I walk. So I will usually bring my study guide or my textbook into the gym with me. put on some music so that I'm not distracted by anything with lyrics. Put my treadmill on a little bit of an incline and just kind of do a walk. If I don't have, like, say, school studies on my plate or anything of the like, that's when I would, either run on the gym, do some light sort of program, etc. So, that kind of works for me. I don't put pressure on myself. I used to aspire to have a six pack. I've kind of let go of that dream, and I just want a healthy life.
I love that. And what you said is actually really interesting because the human brain is designed to solve problems and retain information while in motion. That's how we survive. So if you had to run after your dinner, if you're hunting, that's how you stay focused. That's where the brain focuses best, in motion. So the fact that you study on a treadmill while you're walking makes complete sense from a brain point of view. And I wish more people would do that. There's companies that have meetings while everyone is walking, and they solve problems so much more efficiently.
And again, it speaks to, the theme in the book as well, where I speak about how the different quotients of your life complement one another. And this would be another example of how physical health and, say, intellectual health also work hand in hand, because, you're able to absorb information while you're working on your physicality, etc.
Yes, I love that perspective. Not to separate them, but to get them to dance. And that's so important.
100%.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
exactly.
Absolutely.
Looking back, and I kind of know the answer, but I have to ask the question, would you change a thing? I know that the tough times are so tough, but would you change anything looking back?
Nobody likes to go through traumas and difficulties. Yes, you can argue that come the other side, we're a little more enlightened, we're a little more informed, we're a little bit wiser because of these things. But if there were things I could avoid or mitigate ahead of time, I would. It's the same way, as parents, we try and remove as many of life's obstacles for
Course.
our children, even though we want to, arm them to be able to face life as and when it happens. It doesn't mean you intentionally then put traumas in front of their way, just because you want them to become stronger, more
Of
independent,
course.
self-thinking, right? So there's a lot of traumas which I'm grateful I went through, but if I were to do it again, I would try and avoid. And I think I live that way now. I think a lot of what I have learned keeps me, or let me say, my instincts are a lot sharper, and I can almost identify it a little bit earlier and try and avoid it.
Love that. So for someone listening right now who knows they're not okay, but they keep putting off doing the work, what is the one uncomfortable truth that you would like them to hear today?
That the pursuit of perfection is inexistent, that you will never arrive at a place of a perfect life and a flawless life and a life without any challenges, obstacles, difficulties, but a balanced one is. And for me, it's all about taking the small steps and just reward yourself for that, focus on that. Sometimes that one step is adequate, is enough, towards the right direction, but you do have to introspect and do a little bit of self-examination, because a lot of our challenges are self-inflicted. A lot of our traumas, we are active participants in, and we allow them to dictate what our lives are. You understand? So if you say, for instance, physical health, we are an active participant in that. We decide how that goes, how we interact with people, what we allow, what we allow sort of grows, and we permit it. So we are active participants.
Love that.
I also find that things like trauma are so reactionary to what happens to us, in the world. It's a physical, instinctive, your body responds to something, which means the something is an actual fact external. It's always an external factor, but it's how we respond to it. So the thing we can work on is ourselves, but we have to give ourselves grace. We are far from perfect. We will never be. There's no book that will ever be written that'll help us achieve that perfect life. So
Yeah.
it's all about just that one step, a little introspection, and give yourself grace.
I love that. I love that. And that ability to pause before the response. I mean, that is a superpower. So it's very hard to do
Oh, yeah.
that. But if it is something we strive to
100%.
do, it really is a game changer.
For sure. For sure. And again, I'll just want to repeat the whole grace thing, because you'll never figure it out overnight. You'll never figure it out immediately. There's no sort of formula that says if you follow this 8-step program,
Yeah.
at the end of it, you would have achieved pure perfection. So that doesn't exist. We have to give ourselves grace, and allow ourselves to make the mistakes. That's a part of the learning and
It
living
is. It is. It's
process.
part of being human. It's the beautiful part of being human, actually, even though it feels tough at times. So where can people find your book? The most important question. Your books.
Sure. They are, and this particular one is available on all the reputable sort of outlets, everywhere from exclusive books to Takealot to Amazon to Goodreads to Loot. You generally just Google it, it'll come up. And I always say, if it's not there, please insist they order it for you and it shall be available. But otherwise, it's
Good.
pretty widely available, a lot wider than I would have thought. I'm always seeing it pop up somewhere where I didn't expect.
Lovely.
But the good folks at Penguin Random House are doing a fantastic job of availing it everywhere.
Yes, exactly. So, Proverb, thank you so much for your honesty and your vulnerability. It's been such a wonderful conversation to end the week on. I really appreciate your time.
Nikki, this has been such a lot of fun. Firstly, it's lovely to meet you and to interact with you, but this has been such a great conversation.
Good.
I always appreciate how you can, I can generally get a sense of, how sus somebody is based on the kind of questions and the engagement that we have. So I definitely get the sense that you are on your path. You have figured out a lot of things as well. I would love to learn some more from you, and this opportunity to engage has been fantastic. So thank you so much.
My pleasure, and we'll chat again soon then.
Indeed. Have a lovely weekend.
Awesome. You too. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thank you for tuning in to my last episode of 2025. And to everyone listening, if something in this conversation stirred you, don't ignore it. Your body whispers long before it screams. Proverb's new book is not just a story. It's an invitation to wake up, reflect, and take your own health seriously. And if anything, let this message be the one that shapes the coming year.